God will be gracious. I'm going to say that again. God will be gracious. I don't know about you, but we could do some silly stuff. You know, we could be in a dry season. We could just, I don't care how long you've been in the church, we need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I don't care how long you've been saved. You know, I think about what God has done for me, and when he truly calls you out, he will make a way when there's no way. He's the one that's called you and I, because man would have never called me and Dennis. And what God is doing with me and Dennis, it's just amazing, because I see so clear, and I'm excited to see, because we need something to happen. Is it on? Oh, okay. We need something to happen, and I believe that there's something coming so drastic that it's going to make us run to the altars. I really do. We need it. And when I was doing my devotion this morning, I said, Lord, I know there's a shift coming. I could feel it in the atmosphere. I'm like so excited waiting to see what God is about to do here on this universe and through the body of Christ. Amen. And so when I was reading my devotion, I have some stuff going on. Does anybody have any stuff going on? I mean, just some stuff. I'm going to speak truth. I'm going to speak truth tonight. And for the gentlemen that are here, I just say thank you, because I know all the men were going to be gone and I had no idea. But when I was reading this, I'm saying, okay, Isaiah, I just want to give, because I'm not going to talk about Isaiah. I'm going to talk about a prophecy. I'm going to talk about a word he gave to the people at that time. But I know it's for us. He was a man with a mission. You and I need to be a woman and man with a mission. He had a mission, and his mission was to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was to talk about God. He came in as a prophet. It says that the Lord had given him or shown him a glimpse of his glorious throne. Has God given you a glimpse of his throne? Has he given you a little glimpse of something? Because he's given me a glimpse of something. That's why I'm standing here. Because I know that he's real. I know that he is true. And everything that his word says, it will accomplish. It'll accomplish. And he's perfecting those things that concern you and me. He's perfecting you. He needs to perfect us in the things that are concerning you and I and him. Amen? And he was called out of his life, he was called to be a prophet. It says that he spoke God's word. And so we need to speak God's word and truth, right? Dennis and I have always been truth. Somebody's phone. Turn it off if you can. But we need to speak in God's word and truth. And I think the problem with Isaiah, what he had in all the prophets, that he had to say stuff to confront things and to tell people what they're doing is sinning or there's something wrong. He had to warn them. If you don't stop it, something's going to happen. I'm just going to do it in layman's term, because I have to bring the simple gospel to us, because right now that's where I think that we need to be. I'm not a theologian and I'm not someone that's this great teacher, but I know that God's called me and he's given me the word in my heart and in my spirit, and I know the truth because the truth has set me free. And I see our lives changing every day. We should be changing. I see my husband when I first married him until now. We're not the same people. You might remember us when we were first married, but we're not the same people. You are not the same person. You are not the same person. You shouldn't be the same person. But if you are the same person, there needs to be a check. Amen. It goes on to say that he had to warn the people with words, and that he wasn't a very popular person. You know, when people tell you the truth, people tend to shy away from you. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to know it. They don't want to know the truth, because the truth hurts. But God sent these prophets to tell them the truth. And whether they liked them or not, he did not care. He wasn't there, but he was on a mission for God. Amen. I'm on a mission, and I used to think, like, today my heart is very soft. It's very, God has softened my heart, and I never want to offend anybody. I never want to hurt, but the truth is the truth. So now I say it with a little bit more finesse and love and, you know, gracious. God will be gracious, because he will. It goes on to saying that even though he faced opposition, Isaiah continued to stand for the truth. See, I'm going to stand for the truth. Whether you want to or not, I'm going to stand for the truth. You and I must stand for the truth. I'm here to speak the truth. I'm here to be a mouthpiece for the Lord. You're a mouthpiece for the Lord. Wherever you go, you should speak something about the Lord. Amen. And, he even gave words of promises and hopes. So not only did he warn the people, but there was also promises and hopes in that. So if you're going through something right now, I'm just here to encourage you that there's hope. There's still hope. As long as we have breath and as long as Jesus hasn't come back for the church and we're still here, there's still hope in our situation. There's still hope in whatever that we're feeling down about. Amen. There's still hope because one day Jesus will come back and he's a savior and he's going to comfort us and he has comforted me, but we're going to still go through this stuff because I'm going through something right now. But he's going to come and he's going to bless his people because, see, when we stay put and we stay faithful, he blesses. Amen. So as I'm going to be on Isaiah chapter 30, I want to say this, that when we're facing doubt, I don't know if you're facing doubt, but I have some doubts right now in my mind. It says when we're facing doubts or facing difficulties, and our faith is being tried or it's being tested and things are not going the way we thought they were going to go or our plans are not the way we thought they were. You know, we said, okay, God, I'm going to do it this way and I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to get married and I'm not going to live with this person. And then you do the right thing and then you still get some stuff going on. Amen. Or maybe your prayers are not being heard. Do you feel like your prayers aren't being heard? I feel like right now my prayers aren't being heard. I'm just going to be real. As godly as I am and as holy and whatever that I'm worshiping God, I'm praising God. No, I'm just a human being just like everybody else. I cut, I hurt, and I bleed. And if you say something to me, I will get hurt and I'll get offended but I don't stay there because I already know who I am in God. But we tend to get stuck and we tend to question God. I've been praying for this situation and nothing has changed. Do it again, Lord. By this time, I thought the walls would be, knocked down. I thought that person that had that hate towards us would be away, but it's not. But God says, don't be weary in due season. Amen. Don't be weary. Stay standing. Stay standing. He told me, stay standing. I'm still standing. You're still here. And it may not look what we want, but I'm going to share this. I went to a church, and a big church. I went to a big church to take my grandson to this VBS, and I was so overwhelmed. I was just so overwhelmed. I couldn't wait to come here and just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for our family church. Because I was just not one person said good morning. Not one person knew each other. Everybody was just trying to put their kids in there. Probably 1,000 kids, I don't know. And I was thinking, Lord, how sad. Are they teaching Jesus? I thought maybe they're going to embrace, hey, hi, how are you? Welcome. Never seen you before. And they don't know who's in and out or coming in and out. And my spirit was really burdened. And I just started saying, well, praise God that they have this many people. Praise God that God has blessed that church. And my mind just started going off. And I was like, thank you for what you've given to us, God. Be grateful right where you're at. You might not have a whole lot, but be grateful. Because I'm so grateful. And then God has to bring me back down from the clouds. It goes on to saying that. So we don't think that our prayers are being heard, but I'm here to tell you that we need to just stay still and be quiet and don't say anything. We need to be still. And it says that we should be quiet and get every negative thought, any negative people around you, get them out. Just get them out. Because the word of God is true. And I'm not talking to babes here tonight. I'm not talking to people that don't know Jesus. I'm talking to Christians that know Jesus. So I'm talking to myself. I've been in the church for a long time. And I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting. It goes on to say to calm yourself. Just calm yourself down a little bit. You don't have to get all crazy and yell. If you want to hear from God and you want God to hear your prayers, we're going to need to make some adjustments within ourselves and our spirit and kind of bring it down. Bring it down a little bit. It goes on to saying that we are to calm ourselves down in his sacred presence because we want to be in his presence, right? And if we're going to be in his presence, we want to be still and we want to be quiet. It goes on to saying that you need to study his word. If you don't study his word, you're not going to hear from God. You're going to hear from me behind the pulpit. But if you're not going to study the word of God, you're not going to hear from God. Amen. You could write the scriptures down and then go home and look them up and let it become so real to you. There's a scripture that I'm going to take you to that is just so awesome. So when we're truly devoted and all our focus and our attention is on God and nothing else, he'll hear from you. He wants you to shut the door. He wants you to go and spend time with him. He wants you to get to know him. Amen. Then you will get that sense of direction. Am I supposed to go that way, God? Am I supposed to go this way? I'm in a crossroad right now. What are we supposed to be doing? Maybe you got a new job. Maybe you got a new home. Maybe you have to change a job. Maybe something's going on in your marriage. Maybe something's going on in your children and your family. We're at a crossroad. And he's saying, get to know me and just be still. And if you read my word, you'll have confirmation of what I want you to do. So sometimes we need to be still and then we need to have the confirmation. But trust me, he will answer you either with a smile and a yes or a refusal. And so when you have that uneasiness, you'll know that it's no. How do we know if it's yes or no? You'll definitely know. So I want to say this, that we know the great value of secret fellowship with the Lord. It's always his will and his desire. No, it's not my will. It's not your will. It's not our will. It's his will and his desire for your life. Oh, God, I want. No. What do you want for me, God? What are your desires for me? I need to know those things. What is it that you're asking from me? Instead of me always asking, Lord, you haven't heard my prayer. Lord, you see this, what's going on? Because I was yelling like, God, why? Why haven't you done this? But then yet I look at all the things that he has accomplished in my life. And in your life, there's things that he's accomplished in your life. Let's go ahead and Isaiah. I'm going to start with Isaiah 30 verses 18. But the scripture that stands out is going to be Isaiah 30 verses 21. I was going to start with 21 first, but I'm going to back it up so we can start right here, right where God says that he will be gracious. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. Why would the Lord have to wait? What? Isn't that what it says, that the Lord will wait and then he'll be gracious to you? Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you, for the Lord is God. He's God of justice, blessed, and all those who wait on him. So if you wait on him, he's a just God, and he's going to eventually come to you. And he says that he's a just God. It says, therefore, God will wait. And then when I was thinking that he's a just God, but when you think about Isaiah, he was a man with a mission, and then I'm a woman or you're a man with a mission, and then we come to this crossroad. See, these men and women that are in the Bible, they came to a lot of crossroads. And if we're at a crossroad, what did they do? They stayed faithful. Some of them stayed faithful. The prophets stayed faithful. The children of Israel did not stay faithful. We're those children that don't stay faithful. God is always a faithful God. It says gracious means marked by kindness and courtesy, charm, good taste. Are you that person with kindness? Do you have are you something, there's some kind of charm that you have that people will want that God that you have? Are we spewing out or spitting out all this negative stuff? Gracious, he says, I will be gracious. Bless all. Blessed are all those who wait for him. I need to wait. Be still. He says to be still and just wait upon me because I will bless you. Amen. Mercy. It says in that verse, it says, therefore he will exalt that he may have mercy on you, that he'll have mercy. Mercy is compassion. He has compassion. So why don't we have compassion for others? Why can't we look at others? Why do we get so mad? Do you get mad? I'm just going to be real. I'm mad at a situation right now. But it's not anything to do that what God cannot handle. But I got to go into prayer. I know what I have to do about it. We could get mad. And he says, but I'll have mercy. So why can't we have mercy if God has mercy on us? Why can't we have compassion on the situation? Okay, God, I know you're going to take care of this situation. Forbearance, a blessing that is an act of a divine favor. You and I have favor of God. And so when we come to that crossroad, why aren't you hearing my prayer? Why am I still stuck in this situation? Why aren't my grandkids serving you, God? Why are not my daughters serving you, God, because they should be serving you by now. Why aren't these walls knocked down? Why aren't these changes been? Why? They should be serving you, God. Why? Do we ask why? He said, but have compassion on them because they're coming. They're going to come in. You stay put and you stay on the front line where I've called you. They're coming, but it don't look good. It doesn't look like they are. It looks death is upon their door. And then yet we have so much authority to go into the presence of room, into the throne room of God and pray them in. And I don't see nothing, God. And I get discouraged. Does anybody get discouraged? How about justice? It says that he will have justice, for the Lord is a God of justice. So can I tell my daughter it's going to be okay? Can I tell you it's going to be okay? Because God is a just God and he's a judge. He'll judge everything. We're not the judge, but he's a just God. It says that he's a just God. For the Lord is a God of justice. He will judge. He's going to fight for us. He's going to fight for you. He's going to fight for my kids there. He's going to fight for my grandson in prison. He's going to fight for your granddaughters and your grandsons. He's going to fight for those kids. If you just be still. If you just be still and be in his presence. I can't tell them it's going to be okay. They can't see the way I could see. They can't see the way you could see, because God says he's given you eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Truth, fact, and reason. We know the truth and we know for a fact who Jesus is. They can't see it, but God. 19, it goes, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. Have you been crying? Have you been crying? For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it. It says when he hears it. And when he hears it, he will answer you. Where did we miss that? He's already answered me, so I got to keep on praising him, and I'm going to keep on seeking him, and I'm going to keep on, I got a mission. I'm on a mission. Isaiah was on a mission. You need to stay on your mission where God has called you. He says this, I will hear. When he hears it, he will answer you. Maybe not in your time, but he says, be still. Just be still. Be quiet. Get the negative people out of your ear. Get the negative. You know, I can't even imagine people not liking you and I in the church because there's so much nonsense in the church that, oh, I don't like the way she is. I don't like the way she comes in, or I don't like the way. No, we got to stop that. He says, I will hear it and I will answer. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, what does that mean? Though he gives you the adversity and the water of affliction, have you been afflicted? Are you going through something, the adversity? Yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. I believe when I was doing my research that the teachers were talking about the prophets. Prophets are going to say what they're going to say, and they're going to leave it right there and keep on going. You could stay stuck all day long. You could stay right there. But he goes on to say, verse 21, I think this is where I wanted to, this is where 21, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way and walk in it whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. You will also defile the coverings of your images in silver and the ornaments of your mold images of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing. You will say to them, get away. Go back beyond the 21. It says, your ears shall hear a word behind you. What? What was that, Lord? You're going to hear words. You're going to turn. What? You're going to hear. He says, your ears shall hear a word behind you. It says, walking in contrast with turning aside, the people have been living in such a way that they were so oblivious or oblivious to their spiritual teachers. They were so, they weren't even paying attention. But God says, your ears are going to hear. Your ears are going to hear, and you're going to hear a word behind you. Now you're going to start hearing the word from God. You know, when I was looking at the scripture Bible on verse 21, it says, your ears hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or whenever you turn to the left, and you shall defile the covering of your graven images of silver and planting of mold images of gold. In better words, get the junk out. Get the sin out. Stop running around. Stop doing. I'm not saying that you guys are doing, because I think I have a really nice crowd of people. But he's saying, you know, for those that are hearing on tape, get the junk out. Quit playing with God. Because this is what he says. You shall throw him away as a menstrual cloth and say to it, be gone. That's how nasty he's saying that the things that we do, that's how nasty. I'm talking to adults here right now. A menstrual, when a woman is on her menstrual cycle, he says, it's like that. This is what the Hebrew scripture says. In our Bible, it says, whenever you turn to the right, it says, you will also defile the covering of the ornament. And just gold, you will throw them away as unclean things. Get the unclean things out. We want God to bless us. And we want God to change things. We want, do it again, God. We want the walls to knock down. We want our children to be saved. We want our grandchildren to save. Are we fasting? Are we praying? Are we seeking his face? Are we really asking God? My granddaughter came to me and told me, Grandma, I fasted. But I said, you know what? And I just listened to her. I didn't cut her off. And she says, God says we need to fast. I want to be that woman of God. And I want to do the God thing. I don't have to tell her, but I've been praying, and she doesn't know I've been praying for them. And she's gonna come, and she's all excited, and she's all on fire. And she says, Grandma, I did this for my brother. He needs this, and we need to do this, and we need to get together as a family, and we need to pray, and we need to seek God. And I said, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Grandma, I got my devotion book, and I'm writing, look at the scriptures that God's talking to me. He's talking to me so loud I could hear him, and look what he's saying here. But Grandma, you don't understand. I said, I don't understand. I said, Lord Jesus, thank you. They're in my house. They're in my house. So they can't stay in that house unsaved. There's prayers going on in that kitchen. They're going on. And every time they leave, but she's excited because there's revelation that came on her right now. She says, I'm going to try to do my best, Grandma. I went to church. I didn't know she goes to church. I went to church. I said, God told me this. Did you know that the book of Matthew said this? Did you know that you have to fast and you go in secret and don't tell nobody? I didn't tell nobody, but my fast is over now, Grandma. And I could tell you. And I was like, Jesus. Because we already know as a Christian to break the bonds, to break the yokes, to break the burdens, to break the back of the devil. What do you have to do? You have to fast and pray. That's the only way we're going to. I already knew it, but why didn't I do it? But you got to obey, because God is saying now there's a shift coming in. There's a shift coming in. The young people are going to hear. They're hearing right now, and I'm amazed, because I said, she goes, I even forgave my mom. I got to talk to my mom. I got to do this. And I'm thinking, okay, God, because that's an answer to my prayer. Is somebody at a crossroad right now that God is, you're still waiting for an answer to a prayer, and I'm going to see it? I've never shared this, and I'm going to start sharing things that God did for me, because it's important that you hear these things. Because I'm going to share this, because when I was sharing about when I went to New York and I was on that talk show, and I didn't remember what the talk show was. But anyway, I'm going to share this thing that when God was calling me into the kingdom, and when he's calling me back, I could share this now today. I would have never shared it before, because I'm not anything special. But I am special to my Father. You are special to your Father. And I was in this really ugly, ugly relationship. And I needed to get out. And I could not get out. When we are in the world, we get caught up in some relationships and we don't know how to get out of them. And we just keep doing it, and it's abusive, it's ugly. It was the most ugly relationship that I could ever tell anybody. And I remember just crying one night and says, God, I want out. This is when God's going to hear you, is when I'm done. I'm done. I want out. That is when God is, okay, daughter, son, you want out? then you're going to have to get out of the way and let me show you what I could do. And I remember crying and saying, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. He just got me a new job. I got a new car. I'm going to hide from this person. I'm not going to let him know where I'm at. I'm going to change my phone number. I'm going to move. And then I get the new house. I get the new job. I get the new car. And that following weekend, I'm going to move after the weekend. This is Friday. Everything's putting in writing. And that weekend, my boyfriend calls me back. Come and pick me up. I'm done. Come and pick me up. I said, in my heart, there I go, like a dummy. I said, but no, Lord, you just told me not to go back that way, but I'm going to go back because my heart, just one more time. Just one more time. I'm going to do one more time. And he calls me at the bar. It's a time of happy hour. I'm not drinking no more. I'm not doing drugs. I'm not spending no more money. I'm done. I'm saying, Lord, I want to come back home. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm crawling. I'm saying, I can't take this no more. And then the phone rings, and there I go back. And I remember getting in my truck. I had just got this little truck. He was on a motorcycle. I went to go pick him up at the happy hour, and I go in there. He said, I want a beer. I'm not buying no more beer. I have no money. Well, then, let's go home. Either we're going to go home or you're going to stay here. I'm done. I'm done. He says, no, I'm going to go home. He gets his motorcycle. He's rolling it up on top of my truck. Let's go. I said, okay. And then when we're walking out, a guy's walking in and he sees a friend. And the friend says, hey, I'll buy you a beer. And he goes, come on, let's go. And so he got his beer. He says, you know what? I'm not going after all. I'm going to stay here. Because he really wanted me to go to buy him beer. And he pulls the bike back. And he says, get out of here. And he pushed me. He kicked me and spit on me. I'm sharing this because this is real. I get up from the ground. I say, God, I am so done. I am so done. Help me to be strong, because see, we're weak people. I don't care how strong you think you are, we're weak. And when it comes to a relationship and a love, it's sick. It is sick. If it's not the love of God, it is a sick love. And I'm going to tell you, there's so many people out there that think that they're in love, and it's not love at all. And he kicks me and he spits on me and I'm on the ground. I'm not drinking. I'm not drunk, because boy, we would have wrestled all over that parking lot if I would have been drinking. And I get up and I say, God, I'm done. I don't want this no more. I want to serve you. There's a meeting with Ken Clement coming up in 1998. I'll never forget. I need to be at that meeting, God. I'm like in tug of war, but my heart's still there, and I'm crying, and he spits on me, and I'm getting up, and I said, okay, that's it. He takes the motorcycle off the car. I get in my truck, and I said, okay, God, and I'm crying with every bit of soul and everything. I'm crying, and I'm driving the truck. And I started to go. And when I started to go, the Lord's Spirit said, turn around and look. I turned around and looked. You will never see him again. You'll never see him again. And I said, what? And I turned around and I looked, and I seen a shadow go behind him. I said, oh my God. And as I'm saying it right now, and I'm telling you the truth, I get in my truck. And I know that I haven't moved yet, and I'm going to go home, because just maybe he'll come home tonight after he kicked me and spit at me. Maybe he'll come. So I go to the old place to stay. When I knew my new place was to the left, I go to the right, and I go back to the place. But I told him before he was doing that, I got a new place. I wasn't supposed to tell him. Just in case you want to know, if you want to come and look for me, I got a new place, but I didn't want him to know. God told me don't tell him. And here I go say, I go home. It's early because it's happy hour, probably about 9 o'clock. I'm worshiping, and I'm listening to worship, and I'm worshiping, and I'm crying, and I'm worshiping, and I finally fell asleep to worship. I said, God, I don't want this. In the morning, they wake me up. Somebody called me, and they said, where is Camilo? Blah, blah, blah. And he's dead. He's dead. He gets killed coming home that night on his motorcycle. He gets killed instantly on that turn. So remember I said, I'm going to go right instead of left. I go right. He made that right turn, and he went right into a wall and got killed. I was set free. And I'm not saying this, that I could go to that meeting that I was supposed to be, and when God orders your steps, he will do what he needs to do to get you there. And I will never forget, and this is why I get up every day. I'm on my knees, and I say, thank you, God, for saving me from this ugly man. And I've seen it with my own eyes. I get up every day because he saved me. He might not have done something like that in your life, but he saved me. So I got something to shout about, because I could have been on that back of that bike. He could have been with me in that car. We could have crashed. We could have done anything, but he saved me. Because, see, I was called out in my mother's womb. And when you're called out, God will do these things for you. And I'm not to say that why this had to happen that way, but it did. And this is why I say death. When death comes knocking at your door, we're all going to die. It's just a matter of when and how. And so I trust God with all my heart. I don't play with God. This is why I'm a very serious person when it comes to the things of God. People could say I don't smile, but let me tell you, I'm so free in my spirit. There's reasons why I don't smile. I was just that way. My face, I can't help it. And somebody had told me, you always look so sad. Don't you know that you could be so beautiful on the outside and you could be the wickedest person in the inside? And I could look so cara de lastima, your face. But I'm not. I'm free. I'm happy. Don't mess with me, because my God saved me. Amen. God saved you. If you're here, God will do some amazing things. Once I didn't go to the funeral. I went to this conference. I went to see Kemp Clement. For those of you that know, he was a prophet at that time. That man spoke over my life, and I literally was lifted off the floor. And he said everything that happened. And he even said, you have just lost someone in an accident, but I'm here to tell you that God has a plan for you and that you're going to walk it out. And I received everything that he said. Not one word fell to the ground, and nobody ever knew but me. And that's what's so amazing, because there's things that we should share, and there's a lot of stories that I'm going to be able to share what God has done in my life. That's why I serve God today. He saved my life. I'm telling you, I could tell you some stuff that I went through before that, but he saved my life. But let me tell you how to crawl. And when he says this, and when I was reading this, he says that your ears will hear a word behind you. And when I heard him say, look, and I turned around and I looked. He says, this is the way, walk in it. Wherever you turn to the right or whenever you turn to the left, you also will defile. Get rid of all the junk. Get away from it. And verses 23, it goes on to say, then he will give you the rain for your seed, which you sow the ground, and the bread of your increase on the earth. And it will be fat and plenty in the days of your cattle you'll feed in the large pastures. Do you know that today I am married with my husband 16 years. My husband and I live off the land of the Lord, the land of the living. I'm in a place in my life, so much peace. I can't even get mad. I could get discouraged because my prayers are, but I have to remember what he did for me. Not only one time, two times, three times, four times. How many times has God showed up for you that we could forget so quickly and try to get upset at God? Why, God? Oh, no. I would never say, why, God? I'm going to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me another day to breathe. God, you saved me when I was in my weakest time. You saved me when I was down and I was kicked and spit on. You saved me. And this was somebody that was supposed to have loved me. Oh, what kind of love was that? Oh, Denise, you don't trust, you don't love. You better believe it. I don't trust and I don't love. But God had to change my heart. And when Jesus says that I will set you free, I will clean you inside and out. And when I got married with Dennis, it was like God took a dirty laundry bag and shook it out and turned me inside out and made me all whole again. That's how I felt when I got married. Nobody knew what I was going through. I didn't know Dennis from nowhere. I knew Dennis. You know how come I knew Dennis? Don't you know what kind of man you're married, Denise? I have people tell me all kinds of stuff. Well, don't you know what kind of woman he's married? You know, they don't know. But I knew exactly who I married. I knew what his troubles were. I knew I was supposed to wait maybe a little bit longer. But I chose to do that. And because I chose, God fixed it. God put it together. God, we're like this now. We're like this. We walk. I could finish a sentence. He could look. We're like this. But it took all that time to get like this. It doesn't happen overnight, people. Your life doesn't change. It'll change, but it doesn't happen. It's a process. What are you dealing with? Is it a heart issue, an unforgiveness issue, selfish issue, a sickness issue? There's some issues in our lives that we need to address. And I believe that God has brought such a special people to Dennis and I in this church that you're going to see some things happen. Because God is not looking for a big 1,000 people arena church. He's looking for God people. He's not looking for man people. He's looking for God pleasers. And I'm a God pleaser because I know what God did. Dennis was saved from a mental institution. He knows who he serves. He knows that God touched him. He knows he heard God's voice. I know I heard God. I know I seen God's hand. And he called us out of the dark into the light to be a light to those that don't believe. Those that think that God can't do these things, these miracles. I'm a miracle. You're a miracle. Every single one of you are a miracle. And how can we not say thank you, God? Why aren't the people coming? Why are the people staying home on Thursdays? Why don't they? Because, oh, I don't like who's talking. I don't like who. Jesus, I love who's talking. It's about me and you. I'm going to come and see. I'm going to come and sit. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be the first one at the door. That's why Dennis and I work so hard with ourselves that we're able to give ourselves so much that we're servants. You start from here, not up here. You start from here. You start to be servants. And we were servants to the most, to all kinds of people. And then God started elevating us. Then I went to elementary classes, teaching the little kids. Then I went to the junior high kids. Then he trusted us with the high school kids. Then we taught the adult class. And then we started going out. And then we got ordained. We went to school. There was a process. And everything that I did in the church, I learned. Yes, I was a Mary and Martha because I needed to know what Mary felt like and I needed to know what Martha felt like. Yes, I know right from wrong. Yes, you know right from wrong. But God says, he don't want you to stay there. Why? I said, so Lord, we're at a crossroad. You've done so many miracles in my life. I'm waiting to see this one. You guys have no idea. So, you know, the guys went to the mountains and he said to the wives, I don't know if you guys heard behind the pulpit, if your husband's going, write him a little note. Stick it in his Bible. Stick it in his bag. So when he's out there that he could hear something from you. So what I did, I wrote this page like this in black marker, real big. And I put it on his iPad so the very first thing when he's going to go speak, he could see it. And he texts me and he says, you don't know how much that meant to me. I didn't know, but I said some stuff on there that I pray that God will heal you completely, that you will have an encounter with God, that it'll be the best trip that you've ever had, that you will rest, that you're a great loving man, you're a great loving person, that you love me right where I was at. You've never thrown anything about my past to my face because I would have left. He never did. I said, you've never thrown me, you've loved me right where I'm at. That's the kind of man that God gave me. And I said, you know what? You have a good time there, and I love you. And come back filled up. And he texts me, and he says, I love you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I found it. But right when he got there, so we don't know what we're saying. We don't know how we're going to encourage someone. I need to be encouraged. Do you need to be encouraged? I don't care all this stuff that's going on. If you're not listening to the news and all the junk that's going on, it doesn't affect me in any way, and I can't do anything because I want to go in the front of Washington, D.C. and shout to them, you'll wake up, slap them on the forehead or something. But my job is to pray. We're in trouble as a nation. We're coming to another and crossroad in our nation, and we as God's people and God's church need to rise and say, yes, I'm tired. This is wrong. Sin is sin. How could they do this? How could they vote? So what we have to do is be those godly people. What's right is wrong. I said, Lord, let me have a voice. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to speak for you. Let me have a voice. And he's going to let me have a voice. And you guys will be a part of it. You're going to see. I remember she said she was going to do that. Amen. Because I want more. I want more for our church. I want more for the people. I want more for you. I want you to be in love with God like never before. I want to see God use you and send you wherever. If you're going to be in the missions field or you're going to be out somewhere, I don't know, but I want him to use you to the utmost. Wherever he wants you, until we're here, you know how long God has us here. I'm asking for a shift. I'm asking for a move. I want this building now. We're ready to do. We're ready to move forward in the things of God. Amen? I'm excited. I got myself encouraged when I was reading this. So throw all that junk out. He says, get rid of it. It's like when you're, it's just nasty. Get rid of it. He says, get rid of it. Matthew 6:33. Did I read? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How many times have we heard that? How many times? We should know this by, does everybody know this scripture by memory? Right? You should know it. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. See, I was seeking God's righteousness. I was seeking God when he changed my whole life. He says, you said yes, Denise, I'm gonna go get you. And he says, seek ye first and his righteousness, and then all these things. This goes on to saying, verse 24, likewise, do you have 24? Go back. I'm sorry, go to 25, Mia. Jump back to 25. There will be on every high mountain and every hill, rivers and streams of water. Are you experiencing rivers and streams of water? We're in a, such a time that we should just like be hearing from God, be walking in the things of God and praying for the people and saying, yes, rivers and living waters, rivers and streams of waters. And that day, great slaughter when the tower falls. Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In that day, the Lord binds up the bruises of his people, and he heals the strokes of their wounds. Are you wounded? Are you bruised? God says he heals them. He healed me for every wound, every bruise, every step, every word, everything that was against me. He healed all of that and some. Amen? Let's go and I just want to give you these, a couple of scriptures. If you guys had, and write them down, I really, really, really would tell you right now that God is going to wake you up. If he hasn't woken you up, he wants to wake you up and he wants to speak to you. You must get a little tablet, get a paper. I have so many of these books. I have so many just things that God talks to me and write them down. See, when God started talking to me, he told me, Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and you will be saved and all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's no one else. See, I believe when he told me that he was God and that there was no one else, I believed it. He said to tell you this, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there's no one else. What are we looking for? We have one true living God. Isaiah 56:7. For my house should be called a house of prayer for all nations. That's why I would get up and pray, because you said your house, my house, I'm his house, you're his house. He says, from Isaiah 56:7, for even then I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in the house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifice will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer to all nations. This is where I get the prayer from. When God first told me this back in the 90s, he said that my house should be called a house of prayer. I believe in prayer because his word said to me to pray. And then Isaiah 45 said this, he's saying this, Isaiah 45:5. For your maker is your husband. For those of you that are single, for your maker is your husband. See, I was single when God gave me this. Your maker is your husband. It says, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. There ain't no other God. So this is where I get this, that I'm so set in my ways. I don't care about that church Church of the Brethren, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholics, Jehovah. There's only one God in the whole earth. And he says the whole earth, there's only one God. Amen. So what's there to confuse us about? That there's only one God. So when God started speaking to me, I would take these scriptures, I would read them, and I would act on them. Okay, I'm going to get up and pray, but now I got something to pray about. Amen. Goes on to saying Proverbs 1:28. Then they will call on me. Then they will call on me, Denise, Joyce, Karen, I will put my name, but I will not answer them, Denise. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. I said, why, God? Why? Proverbs 1, he says, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer them. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. 29. Did I give you 29? 20, well, if you could get 29 up there. It's really simple because 29 says, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Real simple. He says, I'll say it again, because they hated knowledge, Denise, and they didn't choose to fear the Lord. I'm going to fear you, God. So he says, then they will call on me, but I will not answer them because they seek me diligently, but because they will not find me because they hated knowledge and they did not choose to fear the Lord. So we could serve God and we could seek him diligently. But he says, because they hated knowledge. I don't want to go home and read my Bible. I don't want to get up and have that relationship with God. I'm going to let them do it for me. He says, because they hated the knowledge, but they're going to seek me. They're going to think that they know me, but they're not seeking me for themselves. And they don't fear me because they keep doing the same old things that they're doing. The lying, the cheating, the cussing, the drugs, and the drinking, and all that. They could seek me all day long. I'm not going to hear them because they refuse to read the word of God. I'm telling you that I know our church has grown so much that everybody's in the church that's here with us because usually Thursdays, but everybody on Sundays. We get a lot of people that come in that we don't see on Thursdays, that everybody has grown. Everybody is going from glory to glory because somewhere somebody's listening. Amen. Luke 7:47. Therefore, I say to you, Denise, Karen, Kim, Michael, because this is for all of us, which are, because it said, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, you and I had many sins, not just me, are many, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. I loved love. I loved so much, it was so sickening. I loved so much. It says, again, therefore I say to you, Denise, her sins were many, because I'm reading the story about this woman, and it says, for she loved much. So sometimes we could love so much that we forget about who we are, and we forget about self. But because her sins are forgiven, but to whom little is forgiven, the same love little. Amen? Luke 12:34. For where your treasure is, Denise, there your heart will also be. See, God started talking to me. It wasn't man that taught me. It was the Holy Spirit that taught me. So then this way the Holy Spirit taught me. And then when I go to the church, I started hearing him preaching this and I understood. He says, Denise, where your treasure is, there is your heart. Kim, where your treasure is, there is your heart. Well, also, Luke 12:40. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at the hour that you don't expect. Hey, Denise, you be ready. Doesn't matter about anybody else, but you be ready. Because the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you don't expect him. So this kind of started opening up my eyes. Like, okay, God, it's like a love story. The Bible became a love story to me. And I started taking it literally. I didn't dissect it. Well, maybe it said this, or maybe it said that. I believed what it said. I believed exactly what it said. And then after I went to Bible college, I started dissecting and seeing it. No. I believed the first time he said. Amen? Revelation 1:8. He said, hey, Denise, here I am again. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. It just blew me out. And I said, what? Oh, you're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, that which was and which is to come, the Almighty? I started to say, oh, God, you're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end? Oh, my God. I said, okay, you're the beginning and the end, you know, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. What was so hard about that? And then I meet someone that knows the Hebrew, and they said, well, you know, the Alpha and the Omega is really not in the Hebrew, because, you know, the Hebrew and the English language is so different. It means everlasting. To me, Alpha and Omega is everlasting, so it ministered to me that way. And now I'm able to look at the other scriptures to say, okay, now I understand. Because he said that to me, and I believed it. So you can't tell me that the Bible is a lie, because it becomes real. Amen? Luke 10:24. Oh, this one just blew my mind. This one right here. For I tell you, Denise, that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it. Oh, Jesus, what? And to hear what you hear and have not heard it. I said, oh, can you say that again, Lord? And then I just said, oh, my God, I'm so special. But little did I know he told you and you and you and you and you. And you and everybody that wants to receive it. If he didn't give it to you, he's giving it to you now. If you don't have that scripture, he said, give it to them now. I give you, he says, I tell you, Karen, I tell you, Kim, I tell you, Cindy, I tell you that prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and haven't seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. How special is that? He's giving it to us. He gave that to me a long time ago. He said, Lord, don't they know? Didn't you give it to them like you gave it to me and they're all living blind? God, come on. What's hard about that? Amen? Luke 11:9. And he said, so I say to you, Denise. So I say to you, Cindy, Margie, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be open. Okay, I grabbed it, amen? He didn't talk to me out of line, he talked to me precept upon precept, scripture by scripture. I have a book of everything he's told me. You know, blessed be are you that are called the children of God. Blessed be that you that are pure in heart, for you shall see God. He started telling me these things, and he says, you're going to wake them up. They're gonna wake up. Hey, look at Raquel. So I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Amen? Job 11:11. Oh, this is a good one. Have you ever said this to yourself or to God, don't you see what they're doing? Don't you see how they behave? Man, Lord, I was at the Dream Center, and when I was doing ministry out in the Dream Center in 1999 to 2000, 2002, there was somebody that was working there, and they caught me right away. I was on staff. I was at the round table and everything. I got myself in there. God just made a way for me to get in there. I'm sitting in the war room with everybody, you know, that was high and mighty, and I even did Jim Baker and his new wife's wedding. I was the one that served all the food and stuff, you know, back in the days. And they have no idea that I was even there. And I remember there was a guy that worked, and we did the buses, and they would give us credit cards. Oh, go ahead, go put gas in your car. Oh, you know, go ahead. And everybody was passing around this credit card from the church. And I'm thinking, that's not right, because I know the word of God, you know. And I said, Lord, don't you see these people? And he says, for he knows deceived men, he sees wickedness also. Will he not consider it? Then he's settled down. Don't get your feathers ruffled. don't worry about that. That's my concern. It's not yours. So it's not our concern what people are doing. It's not my concern that if they're not walking. Will I not consider it, Denise? Will I not take care of it? Who's God here? Didn't I tell you that I'm God? That I'm the Alpha and the Omega and I'm coming back, didn't I? And so it just went right off the window. So I stopped looking at what people were doing. Because he says, I said, Lord, look, will I not consider it? Shut me up. Shut my mouth. I said, okay, God, you're God. Proverbs 6. So then he goes on, and I'm gonna close with this. Six things that the Lord hates. Yes, seven are abomination to him. So when I read this, I go, okay, six things that the Lord hates, Denise. Seven, abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceives wicked plans, feet that run swift to running to evil. I said, wow, that was me at one time. He says, those are the six things that I hate. I said, oh my God, Lord. And so there's nothing hard about that, right? Didn't it just, it's just like real simple, right? Why did we make it so hard? I don't know. I think they just want you to keep coming back, buy their book, buy their book. The only book that I want to buy is this book. I might get your book. You know, there's a lot of good books out there. There's a lot of good preachers out there. I love them. I will always say, you know, that God has called all of us into the kingdom of God. And if you're on a mission for God, you will write those books. You will do those studies. You will prophesy. It goes on to saying Psalms 42. Does this make sense to you? Are you guys getting something out of it? It says, he also pulled me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon the rock, and he established my goings. He also pulled me out of a horrible pit. He pulled me out of a pit, miry clay pit. He set my feet upon the rock, and he established my goings, going in and going out. I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed coming out. You're blessed going in, and you're blessed coming out. He says he pulled me out of a horrible pit. Maybe you weren't in the pit that I was in. I was in the pig's pen, the lowest to the low. He says he pulled me out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon the rock, and he established me going in and out. That's what he's doing to you. He's done it to you. Amen. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing now. He's doing a new thing on this earth, people. He says, shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and a river in the desert. Shall you not know it? You didn't get that job. You didn't get that wife. I made a way for you in the wilderness. I did it for you. It wasn't your smart. It was me that went before you because I have a purpose and plan for your life. Amen. He's a good father. He's a very good father. Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me. If you don't love God, hello. He says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. So you know what that told me? I needed to seek him. I started seeking him. I said, okay, God, what next? What next? I didn't want to put it down. And I kept seeking and seeking until I came to a place today that I have a peace. I finally understand the peace. I finally understand the gifts of the Spirit. I finally understand it. After all these years, I finally understand it. They go, and the last one is Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returns to its own vomit, so a fool repeats its folly. Don't go back, Denise. Don't go back, because if you go back, it's like a dog going to its own vomit, and you don't want to go lick up the vomit that I've already taken you from. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand. Amen? I know that was a lot, but God told me that you guys are the cream of the crop.